We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Past 7 o'clock on a Saturday night in the big city. It is the Fan, 101.9 FM, 660 on the bottom side. I'm Ricky Ricardo. We're here till 9 o'clock. Paulie Rosenberg with a little classic rock to help us out. So we're celebrating birthdays today from Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers and John Mayer. Okay, and a man who knows his singers. Aside from knowing the New York Yankees, because he is a singer, is our friend Pete Caldera of The Record, who joins us tonight to talk a little Yankee baseball. Petey, how are you, Pedro?
I'm great, Ricky. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
You got it. It's a pleasure, my friend. Let's start with
I thought you were going to start with the four bands I wanted to see come back.
Well, let's start with that. Who would you like to see come back?
Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman. Harry James and Tommy Dorsey. I'll start with those.
Tommy Dorsey. You'd like to see a revival of the big band era, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and some of the vocals that you do, and you know, folks around here know these parts know of the Caldera reputation around town and on TV and the whole thing. I tell you what, Pete. The interesting thing is that the more successful tours around the country for the last couple of years have been, you know, bands that are in their 50s, 60s, and, you know, sometimes even in their 70s.
You know, listen, I mean, I know the kind of music you love, and I just know the type of music I love, and I love to sing and with the orchestras and things like that. I know that music that those bands do. And that we do with the Stan Reuben Orchestra is timeless. They'll be played in weddings and celebrations and things like that for 100 years, and they've been doing it for almost that long since they've been written. So it's just great music is great music in any era.
For a man who appreciates the art of music, okay, and the you know creativity of music, then you've got to have an opinion on. You know, today's cancel culture is putting pressure on the Rolling Stones where they can't do Brown Sugar.
I didn't know that until you mentioned that. I guess that, I think the things that you have to appreciate, the era and the popularity at the time of which they were written and performed and things like that. I don't know. It's just that, if that's, the music you grew up with and loved, you'll always love it, and you'll always have it, and it's always a part of you in some way.
We're living in strange times, Petey, but as far as the baseball is concerned, we're living in strange times because we're looking at a Yankee team that just a few years ago, in 2017, Pete, you and I were convinced that we had a juggernaut, that it was going to be a potential dynasty of at least a couple of championships with that baby bomber era. We're now past the 2021 season. This team has been eliminated in the ALCS, then in the ALDS. Now they've been eliminated in a wild card game. You know, if they don't get this ship turned around here, Pete, then the next step is not to make the postseason at all.
Yeah. And as we know, the other teams in their division and around the league, they're not coming you know, up to the Yankees level, they have met it and surpassed it in many ways. And we've seen it. I mean, just look at the two teams playing in the American League Championship Series right now. Look at the team that won the American League Eastern Division this year and last year. The Yankees, they have been met and passed. That has already been answered. It's where do they go forward from now? That is the $64 million question.
The Blue Jays are on the rise. The Red Sox, nobody thought the Red Sox would get this far this year, and it shows you what the difference that a manager can make, because I'm convinced this is more Alex Cora than the actual players on the roster. I think this roster isn't as good as the one they had last year in the 60-game season. And the Tampa Bay Rays, with their system and the way they make it work over 162 games, I don't think they're going anywhere. All right, Pete, right. Let's start with what you think the Yanks need to do here.
I think, frankly, the first thing they need to do is take a deep dive into their own operations to really do an introspective look at their player development and their strategy, their quote, process, if you will. And I know we've all come to hate that word. Since it hasn't added up to much in the world championship column, there are flaws there. There are probably some very deep flaws there. But then again, this was still a team that, when it broke from spring training, you and I and the large betting public in Las Vegas had made the World Series favorites in the American League to get to the World Series. The New York Yankees, and are they that far off, or what happened? I mean, I think, you know, we can certainly tick off the things that, you know, that caused them to miss the mark and miss it badly this year. Even when you had, and I know you talked with John Sterling about this. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy to think that a team that had a healthy Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge for the entire season, finished 10th in runs scored in the American League and 11th in total bases. But why did that happen? That's because DJ LeMahieu had an off year, a real off year, compared to his previous two seasons in pinstripes. Gleyber Torres, down year. Gio Urshela, down year. You got you started with what you thought was what you had in Luke Voit at first base, was a guy who finished in the top 10 in the American League and MVP last year, who didn't play, and you didn't really rectify that position until you got Anthony Rizzo in the picture. You got you started with Aaron Hicks in center field, and you lost him. You started with Clint Frazier in left field, and you got nothing out of that position. You basically flatlined it at catcher because you got what you basically have gotten out of Gary Sanchez lately when he's been healthy, which is a kind of a 200 hitter with 20 plus homer power and not much else. So, you know, that all equaled up to what you got offensively. You know, you're probably going to go into this off season thinking that the pitching is, you don't need to touch that. If you had to make some changes, but you have so many question marks, Ricky, at key positions. I mean, you've got a Yankee team right now where as we stand here in the middle of October, you don't know who your shortstop is, who your first baseman is, who your second baseman is, and probably who your catcher is at this point. That's a lot of key question marks for a pennant contender.
I am of the opinion, Pete, and we're talking to Pete Caldera of the Record, they've got, if you count Rougned Odor, they've got three full-time second basemen, all right? Maybe Odor, yeah, if they decided to keep him, can be a bench player, you know, probably be 25th or 26th man on your roster. But the key guys they've got, Gleyber Torres and LeMahieu, are both full-time second baseman. Torres is not a shortstop. LeMahieu is not a first nor a third baseman. Let's be real about it. If you play LeMahieu anywhere but second base, you're hurting yourself defensively at two positions, at wherever you took him away from and where you put him at, because he's a second baseman. Mm-hmm. What do they do with the glut of second? Let's start with that, with the glut of full-time, not guys that can come off the bench, second baseman on the roster.
Well, here's what I think. I think you have to go into next year. I mean, if you're keeping him and you're not trading him, and I'm not sure what equal value you think you'd get for Gleyber Torres at this point. Mm-hmm. That if Gleyber Torres goes into 2022 as your second baseman, and then you know, you remember when they originally signed DJ LeMahieu before the 19 season, he didn't have a position. He was the guy that was going to float around and play a little third, a little second, a little first base.
Right.
Then why not go into 2022 thinking that's his role now? He'll honeybee around those positions, and if there's an injury at one of those spots, well, then you plug him in there as he did, when they originally had him in 19, and then went on to have a top three or four MVP season. So I think that's how I would look at LeMahieu right now. You don't need to define his position, but I think you need to define Gleyber Torres' position. And obviously, he cannot go into 2022 as the opening day shortstop. And I think that boat has sailed. We're going to go into 2022 if he's on this roster. That he is the second baseman, and I would set that in concrete as soon as possible with him, so he knows that going into this offseason, that's where he needs to work, that's where he needs to put his mind, and that's where he is going forward as a Yankee, and maybe that will give him some peace of mind offensively too, and not have to get off to another bad start defensively and have that affect his impact his offense, because he certainly was a better player in September as a second baseman than he was the previous 5 months as a shortstop. So I would set that in place, and maybe that possibly solves your second base issue right there.
Now, and what happened, obviously, was that LeMahieu, when he got the shot, hit his way into an everyday job, this first year of that original two-year contract.
Right.
Now, you've got him for five more years. I mean, mm-hmm. Pete, you're really going to look at him at a guy that if let's say it's Rizzo at first, Gleyber at second, I don't know, let's say it's Andrelton Simmons or Corey Seager at shortstop, and your third baseman is Gio Urshela, you're going to wait maybe 4 or 5 days for a guy like LeMahieu to get in the lineup?
No, I wouldn't do that. And that wasn't the original intent when they got him. I mean, he was going to be a 600 plate appearance type of guy. They were just going to move him around, and I mean, he didn't start opening day that year, but I think the intent was that he was going to start 5 out of 7 days just by moving around those three positions, and I think he could still do that. And listen, the injuries are going to happen, and whether it's to him or somebody else, that there'll probably be opportunities. I just don't think with his adaptability and his versatility, and the fact that, he is under contract for the next 5 years at a good amount of money, you can dictate where, what his role is going to be. And I think he's enough of a team player, and he's shown it, that he's versatile enough to accept any role. So I don't know if you absolutely have to name him, say, the starting third baseman. It might very well work out that way, Ricky. I mean, depending on how the rest of this winter shakes out, we got a long way mm-hmm. to go, and not only that, we've got a big hurdle in a CBA agreement to get through. This is going to be a long, hard winter in baseball in a lot of respects, and you may not resolve a lot of things until really late. And you know how late the off season has been. Being pushed in baseball in the last few years, and this could be a real question mark for a long time. But I don't necessarily think you need to define LeMahieu's position on this team. There are other places you absolutely have to rectify before you get there. And first base, catcher, shortstop, even center field are among those.
All right, give me the remedy at first base and catcher.
Well, I mean, if it was up to me, I would look to re-sign Rizzo, because he helps in a lot of ways as a left-handed hitter, as a guy who improves your defense just by being a defensive presence there. It just helps the whole defense. You saw it in those 2 months he was there. How much you could throw a ball over there, and he was probably going to pick it, and that helps you in a lot of ways. And listen, this was the guy that was you know, versatile enough offensively that he was leading off in the in a playoff game.
True.
Against the Red Sox. So, depending on what his demands are and what his market is, I think that's a reasonable sign and a reasonable target. Because in a lot of ways, either the relationship with Voit is damaged, or you know he's been injured enough where you can't really trust the fact that he could stay on the field. And again, he's another one of these hit or miss type offensive players. Yeah, he knows the strike zone. He can draw a walk. He can hit you a home run. He's a great presence in that clubhouse and on the bench. And even when he's not playing, you know, kind of like with Urshela, you know, he's with the team, do or die. You know, this is also a player that when they knew they were going to acquire Rizzo, they sought to, you know, to offload off their roster.
Yeah.
And didn't. So, you know, that relationship might be damaged too. Not to say he couldn't come back on the Yankees and be their regular first baseman next year, but I think they're kind of looking past him at this point.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. Gary at catcher, another year?
You know, at this point, and it's amazing, because they've I think of Gary Sanchez, who's been in their organization since he was 16 years old, and I don't think they know more about him now than they when they first signed him, which is, you know, an indictment in a lot of places on the player on the development side and where they've taken him at this point. But at this point, and with you know, I mean the lack of catching in this game. And you're the New York Yankees, and they don't admit mistakes too often. And I don't think they would with Gallo, and I don't think they will at this point with Sanchez. That to take him back instead of non-tendering him and whatever it's going to cost, $8 or $10 million to have him on their team in 2022, I mean, why not? I mean, I think they still value him as an asset to the point where non-tendering him, I don't think, would be the remedy here. So as long as he's healthy and, you know, still a potential 30 home run hitter, yeah, there are other major questions with him. The fact that your ace is pitching to the backup catcher and there were other pitchers like Corey Kluber who were pitching to Higashioka almost exclusively at the end of the season too. That's serious stuff.
That's my whole point. It's not only does he come back to his baseball card numbers offensively, but is there irreparable damage in the psyche between your, you know, quote unquote, you know, phenom catcher you signed when he was 16 years old and your ace, $36 million starter and more guys that don't want to pitch to him?
Yeah, and if you play out Kyle Higashioka's numbers over, 120 games starting offensively, they kind of look like Sanchez's numbers, right? It'd be close to 30 homers. It'd be a 200-something, 210 average, and only with better defense. And that's something you really have to examine too. And if you're taking a hard line at your budget again, and there's players you want to sign, say in free agency, and players you're going to have to pay in arbitration, and players you may have to extend, like Aaron Judge. Maybe that $10 million is worth saving, and then you offload him. I can understand that. I could totally understand that. I'm just thinking that just right now, as we sit here now, without thinking through any of the other machinations, that you came this far with him. He's going to be a free agent at the end of next year. I mean, and you're still the Yankees, and you have all the resources. What does it kill you to go one more year with him? And whatever, whether he's playing half the time or part time or whatever. You know, he's still an asset.
All right, let's go to center field. You know, Hixie supposedly will be back. You never know how long, for how long. He's so injury prone. You know, does Brett Gardner come back? The guy that played the most this year was Gardner. Do you let a guy like Esteban Florial get out there, sink or swim as a talented young prospect?
Yeah, and there was a time where I think we all would have loved to have seen what Florial looked like for an extended period, and he really did nothing to, you know, to get himself sent back down, other than, you know, the fact that guys were coming back and getting healthy again. And you know, at the end, in the second half, obviously Brett Gardner, you know, picked it up from a really awful first half to being a key contributor in the second half. If they wanted to go with Florial and thought he and go into 2022 thinking that he is the legitimate, you know, backup choice to Aaron Hicks, if he once again, you know, cannot get through a full season on what will be the final guaranteed year of his contract, I'd have no problem with that. I think Brett Gardner is going to come back on this team. You know, he does have a player option. He's got the first call here. It is always amazing how, you know, and here what he was the fifth outfielder going into spring training this year, and winds up playing, getting more outfield starts than anyone other than Judge on the 2021 Yankees. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Gardner came in with a backup role on this team coming into next spring training. But obviously, you've got a serious question in center field, and right now, Aaron Hicks is their answer right now going forward. But yes, all that injury history that comes with him brings serious questions about whether you can count on him or not for 2022.
Last thing before I let you go, we know the moves that were made this week. Nevin, they can say that you know, sending Judge in that game had nothing to do with it. I can name you, I give you a whole list of sends and non-sends from Nevin in the last couple of years that I disagreed with. I love Phil. He's a great guy, but you know, there's a lot to talk about as far as third base coach decisions there and the two hitting coaches. Number one, Pete, do you think that's it? Does the guillotine come down on anyone else? And that includes Aaron Boone? And, you know, is that a sign of maybe things to come, or a signal to Boone that we're going to keep you maybe, but you're going to have to do things a little bit different?
Yeah, I think that part, what you just said, Ricky, is kind of what I was left with thinking. I mean, I remember I was talking to Sweeney Murdy about this too. That remembering way back in Joe Girardi's first year as the Yankees manager, that did not result in a playoff appearance. And the next year, going into 2009, they fired Bobby Meacham, the third base coach, who was a real good friend of Girardi's. I mean, he brought him in, and now to get rid of a Phil Nevin, a confidant, a guy that you know, that Aaron Boone has known since you know, they were kids, you know, that takes you know, that's a bit of a hit, isn't it? That kind of gets your attention. Not that he, yeah, you know, that Boone needed it, and this is not, we're not going into Boone's second year. We'd be going into his fifth year as Yankees manager. But you know, to take some of those underpinnings away and reduce some of that security, I think does get your attention and does shake things up a bit. Now, I dare say if they kept all the coaches or changed the entire coaching staff, how much of a difference is this going to make in the long term? I'm not sure. You know, the fact remains that, you know, I found this quote that Brian Cashman had said after they got rid of Torrey and hired Girardi. And he said that the manager is an extension of the organization. He understands the development process, understands what the organizational philosophy is trying to do from scouting on up, and is an extension of the philosophy that's on the field. Now, if you apply that to any managerial hire, you're not going to be satisfied as a fan or a neutral observer with anybody they bring in if that's the organizational philosophy. They're going to bring in the next guy who fits their quote-unquote organizational philosophy. So, you know, I think that kind of, you know, third parties out the coaching staff and the manager. Yeah. The organization is going to do what it wants to do and dictate what it wants to dictate. And ultimately, as Hal Steinbrenner said, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, the blame and the responsibility falls upon the players on the field, and they're the ones who are getting have one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and are ultimately responsible for where this team goes.
It's going to be an interesting, tumultuous offseason. You'll be on top of it. We'll be in contact with you, and it all starts with the fact there's no contract beyond December 1st between the players and owners. So I think that's going to be step number one. What they do with Aaron Judge, and do they extend it now or later, is going to be another big-time question in the offseason, and obviously all the potential changes that may happen. You'll be on top of everything, and we'll be there with you along the way. Pete, I thank you for a couple minutes. Enjoy your Saturday night. You performing tonight?
Next Saturday, Rick, actually. I'm filling in for Steve Imbruglio at the Carnegie Club, the Sinatra Saturday, next Saturday at the Carnegie.
All right, so next Saturday night, a Halloween weekend, a little Pete Caldera. How about that? That's a fantastic night out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope you come.
Well, I'll be up there because I got football the next day, so I'll be in New York next weekend.
Okay.
I might just – in
costume.
We
got a spot for you. The early show's at 8 o'clock. We can get you out by 10.
There you go. I might show up in a Steve Summers costume. How about that for Halloween? All right. Pete, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Ricky. Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, you heard him. The organizational philosophy. And this goes right back to you, the Yankee fan, that is more worried even about the general manager and the organization's philosophy even more than the field manager. Just heard it from Caldera.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.